coming up on Thunder Pop.
This is the 115th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast, and coming my way from across, well, actually coming my way from the screen on my computer, the one and only
Jazz One.
Jazz One, yes indeed, ladies and gentlemen, in the Thunder Pop Dome via Skype for the first time, coming to us via Skype, as you've every appearance before this has been in the actual studio, so this is a little different for us.
Yeah, we live in the future.
We live in the future. Yeah, we'll be having you hologrammed in a few years for this podcast. In fact, I'm sure that's going to happen before it's all said and done. We're going to be hologramming in for this stuff. I might just make that meme though, just to kind of set it up. It's like we're hologramming people in for this podcast. But yeah, Jazz One joining me, and this I'm Stephen Presley. We're on this 115th episode. We're going to talk about what else other than the Rise of Skywalker. It's what we've been talking about for the past several weeks. Well, we've been talking about Star Wars, not just Rise of Skywalker, because as you know, it's not just films anymore. We have live action TV series now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like you said, we live in the future.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we've got the Mandalorian, of course, wrapped up, and we're going to get back together and do a show just exclusively on that, because it deserves its own time and its own presentation for sure. But we are going to touch upon that, because believe it or not, there's some crossover. More than it just being both of them being a part of the Star Wars galaxy, the expanded universe of Star Wars, more than that, there's actually some actual crossover that I've identified with some Easter eggs that I went and saw it for the second time, finally.
Three times myself.
Jazz, three times? Yeah, I wasn't sure if it had been four times for you or three times. So you went three times. So,
yeah.
So you made it three times. I just went for the second time. I actually wanted to go a lot sooner, but we had the holidays, and I was traveling. As you know, you were traveling too. And then I came back, and right before the new year, I got food poisoning, and I was bedridden for a few days. And so I didn't make it out until just earlier. I went and saw it right before the show, so I could have it new stuff fresh in my mind for this episode. So yeah, so I'm really excited. We're gonna get into that, and we'll have our usual tropes, thoughts and advice, agree or disagree, me, myself, Jazz One, and himself. Right after this. Yeah, and finally, just about recovered from, I've been eating nothing but saltines, and I've been doing what they call the brat diet. When you get food poisoning, it's hard to keep food, you know, so I've been eating saltines and white rice for like the last almost 4 days, and water and ginger tea, and watching football, watching your guys annihilate OU, which now is oh no you. So
O-U-C-H.
Yeah. OUC later. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, so that's been happening and football. So I've been eating saltines and watching football and rewatching a couple of the Mandalorian episodes too that had already seen, and I got some questions in a agree or disagree later related to Disney Plus. So,
oh, awesome!
Yeah, so we'll get into that. Happy New Year to you, Jazz One, and thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you very much, man. Happy New Year to you too.
And the reason why you're coming in Skype is because I didn't know how I would be today, whether I'd be, you know, back together or not. So I was like, just in case, why don't we do this as a Skype? In case I have to do this show from my bed.
Same.
Which almost happened, yeah. And you're probably still recovering from the holidays too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was kind of a long day, but man, I'm glad we're here.
Yeah, we got. It's going to be fun. This is going to be re-energizing to talk about some Star Wars stuff. So, The Rise of Skywalker, and we haven't really talked much about Rise of Skywalker since we both saw it on the first night on December 19th. We haven't really talked much about it. We wanted to get back and do this show a lot sooner, but like I said, I had food poisoning, so it was delayed coming back and doing kind of a more of a roundtable discussion. So don't now, die, what's that?
Don't die, Onus.
Yeah, I wasn't, no, not at all. But I'm going to need some like force healing, someone to come in and do some, that's what I really needed. If I'd had someone to come in, a Jedi or someone with high midichlorian could put their hand on my stomach, they could have healed me right away.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we'll get into some force healing. But first of all, I want to hear your general, you know, feelings on the film. And you did a pretty good job of kind of kept kind of tight lip. I didn't see you really put up a review on, I guess you were trying to avoid being spoilery on social media.
Yeah, I've been not looking forward to this because like I don't know what the proper time window is as far as the spoilers.
Yes. Like, and before we, I should put that out there.
Catch like the first showing and didn't have any spoilers, but like there was so much, it was hard to talk about anything without spoiling it for someone.
Yeah. Just
talking spoilers today.
Yeah. And that's what I want to go ahead and do right now. Let everybody know if you have not seen Rise of Skywalker, well, I'm really sorry for you. Where have you been? And actually, it happens sometimes, even for big Star Wars fans, like some people that are in the military that were stationed somewhere and couldn't get out in time to go see it because like, they were at a remote location. Our very own Johnny Lightfoot, I don't know if he's still roommates with his friend that's a UPS driver, but his friend was a UPS driver, and during the holidays, he had to work like every day up until up until Christmas time. So I remember with the case of The Force Awakens, when Force Awakens came out, I think the same with Last Jedi, he had to not talk to him about the movie because he wasn't able to actually go see it until I think Christmas Day when he finally had a day off. So he had to keep mum about the whole film, which God, had to be hard for his roommate.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is going to be a spoilery to the spoilest core. You could get a really bad a food poisoning from the how spoiled this podcast this podcast is going to be. No pun intended, but pun intended. So tune out if you have if you haven't seen it yet, and then go see it, and then come back and listen to what we thought after that. So with that being said, with the spoiler. A warning put out there. What did you think about this film, Jazz? The ninth installment, and probably the last one, although there is rumors of a film in development called Star Wars X on the internet right now.
Oh, that's incredible. Yes, as far as my take, man, I had to definitely see it more than once to get like a solid take on it. Like,
Same here.
Yeah, like the very first time I saw it, man, like, I've lost my parents, so like the dead parents nerve got hit, and I was like, man, I was feeling the feelings, and it's like I'm an adoptee also.
Yeah.
And with Rey not knowing like who her parents were and stuff, and like there was a time where I could like really relate to that. So it's like, man, it just hit those nerves like really square. You know, I didn't know I was walking into that.
Yeah.
Having said that, man, I thought it was a really solid outing. Man, they had so many things to tie up. You know, it's not going to satisfy everybody. You know, I wrote a while back, man, if what I do doesn't do it for you, it's simply not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of pulled all art, music, film, you know, to that same thing. If I don't like it, it's not for me. You know, if I like it, it is for me. And like, man, this movie is, you know, for me. But yeah, I hear a lot of people complaining and stuff and nitpicking stuff. I'm like, maybe Star Wars isn't for you anymore. You know, maybe you think you like the band and you just like a few albums, you know.
Did it flip, though, with this film? Do you get the feeling that it flipped where, you know, there was a certain audience that was upset about the certain audience in particular, more so than others, that were upset about The Last Jedi where there were other audiences that applauded that film. Did it flip, though? Did the coin flip to the other side with who's upset about this film and what they're upset about?
I can't tell, like, on a macro level. There's just some of the criticisms, man, that mm-hmm. I immediately just kind of roll my eyes at as soon as I hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like same stuff, you know, hearing it over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like I'm surprised people found, you know, things to complain about. But most of the time when I hear people complaining a lot about Star Wars, if you talk to them about more than Star Wars, they're complaining about other stuff, too. And just sometimes people that complain are complainers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that comes up with a lot of things. That happens. I mean, there's something called Yelp. And if you ever read Yelp reviews.
Oh, yeah.
You can really feel sorry for people that own businesses.
Oh, yeah. But, man, it was, it was some interesting turns. I mean, I think for the last, year and a half, we've been writing Star Wars movies in our head. And it's like, I've had so many movies run through my head, like how I think it's going to go. And, you know, this is it, you know, and it's like, you know, kind of also my thing, I don't know if just being an artist, but man, it's like, you know, if this, you know, Masonic samurai space Western, you know, didn't make you happy, go make your own, you know, it's just.
And they can, because they're Star Wars fan films.
Exactly. You know. No, it's like, this is what we got, and man, I enjoyed it, man. It's like, definitely some plot twists and turns I didn't see coming, and like,
certainly, yeah.
Second, third time, I definitely saw some things I didn't see before, and yeah, overall, like, I'm happy with it.
And we want plot twists and turns that we didn't see coming. We don't want it to be too predictable, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, even when we've guessed some of the stuff on the previous films, you know, it's just, you know, like, how do you get there? And,
yeah.
They've always kind of thrown us, you know, for a loop. I don't know, just think, you know, if the internet existed when the original films came out, you know, I don't think we would have had more than one.
Yeah, could very well be. It would have been a different world too. But yeah, the internet has changed things. Some for the good and some not for the good.
Yeah, like Skype.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't be here right now podcasting. And like I said, one of these days we'll be hologramming you in from my droid.
Exactly.
For this podcast. It'll be, was it Jazzy One Kenobi?
Yeah, Jazzy One Kenobi.
Will you wear your robe for that first time hologram?
Oh, exactly.
You got to do it, right?
I remember the meme you made after we met Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some fun meeting Mark Hamill. Man, if we never get a chance to meet Mark Hamill again, we met Mark Hamill.
Man, that was the first time, I think, in my adult life I ever felt like a fanboy. And I've gigged with a lot of people. I've shot a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, hung out with a lot of well-known people. But, man, it's like meeting Mark Hamill is the first time I'm like, oh, damn, like, we did that.
We all were fanboying and fangirling out that day for sure. No doubt. So, and that was a few years ago at South by Southwest. After Last Jedi, the March of following Last Jedi's release, Mark Hamill was in town for South by Southwest, and we got to go to his Q&A, and my only complaint about that Q&A was that it wasn't longer. Because I don't know about you, I could have been there for 3 hours, just doing what we were doing.
And it's like, I'm pretty sure I used the force to make that happen.
Yeah, to get us all there, to be able to get us all in, to be able for it to actually have had happened and been a thing in the first place that we could even attempt to get into. And then, yeah, then we wheeled our way in there. We used the force for sure. The force.
It was really hard. This South by was like, how am I going to top that? Cause it was like the previous South by 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, how do I top that? Like, Prince is dead. Can't meet Prince.
No.
I was like, play catcher Drew Brees.
That'd be good.
You see, what else could I do? TED Talk.
Yeah. What's next? Well, how can 2019 top the last couple?
Yeah, how can I top that?
I'll tell you this. It's what is it, January right now? I had a premonition the other day. I could see someone this year like Eddie Murphy coming to South by Southwest.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And I don't know if it's going overboard, but he's going to go back and do stand-up in 2020. And he hasn't done stand-up comedy in years.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to do a South... He's assigned to do a Netflix stand-up special. His first stand-up since Raw. First,
that's awesome.
So he'll do a stand-up special. And he's also going to have Coming to America come out. So with Coming to America coming out in the summer... And then him having a big movie this year already with Dolemite, I could see him, maybe he shows up at South By and does a short set for South By Southwest comedy.
Oh, that would be crazy, man.
So that would be something big I could see them pulling together. Also, probably, well, here's another one, a Mandalorian panel at South By. With Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, and some of the cast.
Yeah, I won't swag from that party.
So those are my hopes and wishes, and where I'm using the Force right now to will a couple. Those are a couple of things I think would be really cool that they want to take some big swings of the fence this year.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know. What do you think? You think I might be close on something?
Yeah, that would be interesting, man. You know, it's like every South by, I'm sure, like, it can't get any better, and somehow it does.
They figure some way out to do it. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, Rise of Skywalker, there were some Easter eggs in this film. And so you liked it. Now, do you, out of the new trilogy, did you have a favorite? Did you like them all the same? Do you have a order? Like, some people have an order how they rank their Star Wars films.
Like, you know, to me, I enjoyed The Rise of Skywalker, and, you know, it's the newest, shiniest, you know, toy right. you have right now.
Right.
And I keep trying to figure out, you know, do I like it more than The Last Jedi, or, you know, which one, like, they both are above The Force Awakens, you know. Like, I think Force Awakens had to do too much exposition mm-hmm. and set up too much, and then it was, you know, just really close to a New Hope. Like, I know lots of complainers complained about The Last Jedi,
yeah,
but man, it gets better every time I see it. You know, it took turns I wasn't expecting, and man, there was some stuff I really connected with, man. I you know, like, I'm If for people who know me, man, I'm a big Hope guy. You know, that's like one of the things that thing helps me be resilient. You know, when I saw Rogue One, like, they really drove in, you know, the Hope theme. Yeah. I kind of felt the same way about The Last Jedi. You know, it's just like, man, the world's kind of in a dark place right now, man. All these school shootings, mm-hmm. all this ugliness in the world, and man, Trump and everything. And it's like, man, not saying my hope had, you know, went out, you know, but my hope dimmed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, man, the thing I liked about The Last Jedi was, man, everything that those people have gone through and that whole saga up to that point, you know, and they're down to about 36 people. And then even Luke kind of coming to grips with his role in it. Mm-hmm. Man, it just, like, I went to go see The Last Jedi, man, and I left with, like, a new hope. Man, I got the resistance symbol with a fleur-de-lis on it because of, man, you know, if the resistance symbol is, like, the hope symbol, man, I wanted that on me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something I thought right after Last Jedi and with what things were happening, the things that were happening in Last Jedi and how it all played out. I saw that the Hux and Kylo Ren, obviously there was friction there, right? These two guys not really caring for each other too much.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I think there's going to be some dissension between Hux and Kylo kind of going back behind Kylo Ren's back in the next movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's...
Yeah, go ahead.
And so I saw that coming, but I didn't see it coming in the way that it happened. I thought it was going to be more Hux trying to take over the First Order and kind of maybe somehow trying to take out Kylo Ren and then maybe bring in another, you know, Sith to kind of run the show because he really didn't care for Kylo Ren. But I didn't see him doing it as a spy working with the Resistance.
Oh yeah. I definitely see what you're saying. And now, if you were to twist my arm and I had to say something I didn't like about The Last Jedi, was Hux felt very much like a Monty Python character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even from being, you know, Ginger Hitler in the first one.
Yeah.
To being, like I said, a Monty Python character.
Yeah.
Now, his, betrayal being, the... double agent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was kind of similar to what was the guy in Rebels, I believe. With the big pork chop sideburns.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very similar vein of character to me. And, a lot of the things in Star Wars universe seems to rhyme, as Lucas put it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember his name right now.
Yeah.
That didn't bother me because it rhymed with Rebels.
Yeah. And did you like the Hux where he was? Of course, he wasn't in it. I mean, he didn't seem to be in it that much, but what he was involved in was pretty important plot development in the film. Did you like the character more in this film?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was kind of, I guess, a happy medium. Like you said, he was originally, just Ginger Hitler,
mm-hmm.
a Monty Python character. And, it's like, I definitely could see where he was coming from, in his character this time.
Yeah, I knew we would get the Ben-demption. I didn't know we were going to get the Hux-demption.
The Ben-demption, man, it was like, a lot of people complained about, was it Kylo Ren with the... was the first in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I heard somebody refer to him as Darth Tantrum.
Yeah.
It was like, but man, it's like, that's where that arc, had to come from. It's like, man, if you look at Luke in A New Hope, he was a whiny teenager at the time, but to kind of see the character arc.
Yeah.
And to go from where, he started off, then getting more of the story and the, Last Jedi, and then seeing him, the whole Ben-demption, man. I think he was like such an amazing actor, man. Just how much his energy changed when he became Ben. One mm-hmm. thing I noticed, the first time, but I had to like double check the second time, is when Han shows up, his memory or whatever.
Yeah.
Kylo's scar, is gone, like his facial mm-hmm. scar.
Yeah, you were mentioning that.
Yeah, that just kind of hit me, man. I've had a scar in my eyebrow since I was like four, so
yeah,
so I could appreciate facial scars disappearing. So it's like that kind of hit me, man. Just the energy, how much it changed, from Ren to Ben.
Yeah,
it just that really kind of amazed me. I mean, just a whole different vibe.
I'm gonna tell you something that's kind of a funny story. So I think more for this film than I had done even for the first two films, and I did a lot of watching videos and reading online a year ahead of Force Awakens, because obviously there was a lot of excitement on my part for the first movie in the Skywalker saga to be out in years and decades. So there was a lot of excitement and lead up to it, as I know there was for you as well. So I did a lot of reading and watching videos, but nobody really got it very right with their predictions leading up to Force Awakens. I mean, they got a few things, a few things here and there. And then with Last Jedi, there was still a lot of things that people were off on. But I found myself back down the wormhole on The Rise of Skywalker, and probably more on this film than I had been on the others, because especially now doing this podcast and doing, you know, social media for this podcast, I think I've become more of a person in the media than a fan. And that's that's a different dynamic than I've had in years past when I was just a Star Wars fan and I wasn't kind of feeling like I was part of the media side of this. And now being kind of a media side, I got more involved in the research. And I went down that wormhole and I watched a bunch of the Mike Zero videos before this film came.
I was going to bring him up and like, how much should he get right?
Well, you know, and I made fun of him in the last one because of a lot of things that he got wrong. But this time around, I went and saw this film. Afterwards, I was blown away. He got almost all of it. And I was actually really bummed because I was like, man, I kind of am bummed because I knew what was going to happen before it happened because I watched all these Mike Zero videos.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking this time around, he really had a legitimate leak. Like, he had a real leak. And there had been talk about focus groups watching these films. There had been some denials from Disney that they use focus groups. Mike Zero claimed they use focus groups. I know they do focus groups for a lot of stuff. I've been in focus groups before for TV shows.
Yeah.
So I've done them. I know they exist. But he got almost everything on the only thing he missed on, and there's a hunch the reason he missed on this one thing is because they changed it. Maybe it didn't test very well, or maybe the studio didn't like it after they shot it, so they redid it. But the one thing he got wrong, so he got the Ben Demption stuff right. He got the kiss. He got the final order. The name Final Order that was going to be Emperor, that Palpatine was going to be calling his new version of the Empire. He got the he got literally everything. The Leia. And how she would be used in the film. I mean, either he's a psychic or he's gotten after three films, he's finally figured out how to really make predictions right. Or he was just lucky, but he was really lucky because I was really pissed that I watched his videos because, like, damn it, I knew everything was going to happen before it happened.
Oh, no.
Which I think it actually impacted my enjoyment of the film because I was entertained, but I think I would have enjoyed this film even more had I not known all this stuff before watching Mike Zero's videos. So my advice is if you want to enjoy these films in real time, to not watch Mike Zero videos anymore. And I think he had jumped the shark. He was so bad and so off on the previous two films on his forecast that he was starting to lose credibility because I was reading the threads on his video and they were going after him so bad about his lack of credibility that I was actually starting to feel sorry for the guy. I was like, I hope the guy gets at least one right just so he could have a win. I was actually starting to have sympathy for him because people were dogging him so bad on social media. But man, he got the last laugh because the only thing he got wrong was the Chewbacca thing. He had...
Oh, damn.
He got the ship and Rey bringing down the ship, but he said that Chewbacca ultimately dies in the film.
Oh, damn.
Which we now know is not the case. We were led to believe, which was a great bait and switch, by the way. One of the best bait and switches in Star Wars film history, I think. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was something I noticed, like, in the, I believe, my last viewing of it. There was a shot that had two ships, it's like just a quick shot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. At first I didn't see that second ship, but well, yeah, it was definitely there.
Yeah. And I didn't catch it. I saw it the second time. I didn't catch it, but I was looking for it. I just must've missed it. But, yeah, so there was two ships there. So I'm speculating, I've had a discussion with some people since then that maybe they shot it with Chewbacca actually ultimately dying, and that just wasn't, they, you know, it didn't test well, so they put it back in that he survived. I don't know. Or that's just something he got wrong. He got the part right about her bringing down the ship, and then I don't know. But I'm just blown away. He got so much of it right that I was actually pissed off that I watched his videos. Because we make predictions. I mean, we do our predictions on the show, but it's we just roll the dice. We don't go and we don't have any informants.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so, and I asked you guys the question, I remember weeks ago, I had, I think you and Johnny both here at the same time, and I had asked you all, would you all ever want to be a part of these focus groups? And I know both of y'all said, no, we just want to go in and enjoy it as we see it.
Yeah, I was happy that I was able to see it, like, man, no spoilers, just going into it, you know, fresh.
Yeah.
And, man, it hit me. Man, it was like, a really emotional reaction to it, man. It's like you said, having lost my parents and having, you know, been, mm-hmm. you know, being an adoptee, it hit those nerves, man. It was like, I drove away from the movie theater, man. Like, I literally had heartache, but just like mm-hmm. also elation and just, man, you know, some of the themes of the movie just really hit.
Yeah.
Man, it was just like a lot of emotion. I definitely got my, you know, $12 or $13 worth that night.
Yeah. No, it was a roller coaster ride. And I will say this, I enjoyed this film and I liked it more than Last Jedi. I was not huge on Last Jedi. I wasn't a hater, but it wasn't my favorite Star Wars film. And actually, I'm one of the few people I think that liked Force Awakens more than Last Jedi.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but this movie.
I'm looking forward to you know, when I get a chance to like really sit down like on my couch and watch The Rise of Skywalker. But man, for right now, it's like Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker like neck and neck for me right now. Like you said, once I get to spend some time with it, you know, on the couch, mm-hmm. on my TV,
yeah,
then I kind of, you know, see where it ultimately, you know, lands for me.
Well, and I, you know, I went second time, and I went two times to see Last Jedi. But I went the second time Last Jedi, and actually, it for me, it got worse the second screening. So with Rise of Skywalker, for me, it got better on the second screening. So that's a sign for me that my lean is definitely heavily into Rise of Skywalker. Do you think this film was it trying to pay fan service a little bit too much?
Oh man, I don't think so. Like, man, it just, I don't know, that term just even seems kind of odd to me, man. It's like, the movie we got is the movie we got, you know. Like,
okay.
I definitely appreciate, you know, the callbacks, you know, the references and stuff. And like, you know, how Lucas mentioned that, you know, a lot of Star Wars rhymes, you know. And, you know, kind of, I had a super late pass to the animated shows. So it was like, for me to see references to like the animated show, like seeing the ghost show up.
Yeah.
All the showed up.
Well, and the voices of all the, some of the characters from the, from the expanded
like
universe.
Ahsoka, you know, just some of the past Jedis. And I think they used both, Obi-Wan voices.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me because they did in The Force Awakens when she goes into that cave, I don't really know if you call it a cave or a tomb, for the Jedi, when she was looking, when Maz Kanata led Rey down into that kind of tunnel, I guess.
Yeah.
And she hears you hear the voices of both Obi-Wan's, both versions of Obi-Wan's. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they used both Obi-Wan voices merged together somehow. And this one as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of just very stunning imagery in The Rise of Skywalker.
Well, yeah. I mean, that when they go, when Kylo Ren goes, flies his ship over to confront or find Palpatine for the first time, that the visuals of that flying in and landing and then him making his way into to Palpatine's kind of his little hideout of sorts. That the visuals on that were some of the most amazing visuals I've seen in any of the Star Wars so far.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was just the colors and the effect. But yeah, it was really stunning. And this film, I think, visually, definitely the most visually stunning of all the Star Wars films for me.
Yeah, I remember like the first time I saw it, man, it was like all the aliens were like these feline humanoids.
Yeah.
And then they started singing and dancing.
Yeah, what?
They never left that one planet.
Did you were you a little bit confused at first? And you were like, wait a minute, let me check my ticket.
Exactly.
And then you realize you had accidentally went into the Cats Theater.
Exactly.
You were 30 minutes into that film and you were like, what the heck is going on? And Donna Jean went to the film with you, so you were probably looking at her and saying, what the hell did we walked in the wrong movie.
I never saw one lightsaber, no space battle.
You were like, I know they're trying, I guess JJ's really trying to retcon the notion that he is just following all the beats of the original trilogy.
Yeah, just cat aliens.
Yeah, just cat aliens, no original Star Wars characters.
Exactly. That was a weird turn.
It was like, wasn't the turn you were expecting. And it was a musical, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With song exactly. And dance. And Ray was played by Taylor Swift, and she was a cat feline, too.
You saw it, too.
Yeah. The part of Finn was played by Jason Derulo. Instead of John Boyega, and he sings too. So it was a different choice for sure. But then I was like, God dang, I walked into Cats.
Exactly.
If you could have gotten your tickets for free, but you had to agree to go to a double feature where you have to see Cats first, would you have done it?
Are there mushrooms involved?
Depends on what theater you go to.
Exactly.
From what I've heard. It depends on who you know at the theater. You got to know the right people. Yeah. There's a few per areas though. Like, okay, I'm going to talk the Luke Skywalker Force Ghost. And by the way, I loved it when his hand shows up all of a sudden out of the blue. His Force Ghost hand. I loved how they brought him how he shows up into the scene, and it's kind of a callback to Last Jedi, where Yoda shows up to stop Luke.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or actually, not stop Luke. Luke was burning the Jedi books, correct?
Yep.
And then he comes in and he sits down with him and says, you know, that the line he says, well, not the most interesting reads or whatever. I don't know. You remember his line exactly? What he said?
Yeah. Something to that effect.
Yeah, something, a really good line. One of my favorite scenes in the movie, because it was Frank Oz as Yoda and Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker had such good chemistry working off of each other, and they're old friends, and seeing them two working together again was really a cool moment for me in Last Jedi. One of the things I liked about Last Jedi was that. But yeah, so there's kind of a callback there, but Luke said the whole thing about how he was wrong. Was that JJ trying to retcon that the way Luke was used in Last Jedi?
I disagree, man. Like, I know there's some people like in the Star Wars media that, you know, tries to make an issue out of any little thing. But I didn't feel that way.
I got one more for you. Rose Tika. Yeah. Do you feel like she was Jar Jar Binks'd in this film?
Not at all. I mean, I heard some critiques of her not being used as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically, you know, she was there to be, you know, with Leia. So it wasn't like Leia's the only, you know, character there. You know, it's like,
right.
Then you see, I think there was, from what I read, like more scenes with her and Leia. But like they said, like the photorealistic. They couldn't get it to look right. Is basically what I heard.
That's what JJ's come out and said. I think last week or so, as he said that they needed her to use her to make the Leia scenes work.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was the big thing there. They needed that. Now, by the way, after seeing it the second time, I have even more appreciation with how they pulled off the Carrie Fisher stuff.
Yeah, that's really amazing, man. It's like, man, the movies hit me in the feels, man. It's like every time I see Carrie on screen, man, it just, my heart hurts a little bit, you know. Man, just miss her vibe, you know, when movies come out, miss her interviews and stuff. And just, you know, she was amazing.
I'll tell you two of my favorite small parts in the film. One was 3PO's line, which was classic Anthony Daniels 3PO line, when they show up at this what, 40-something year festival that only happens every 40-something years.
Yeah.
And they arrive at this place. There's this festival's going on, which is kind of the Burning Man of the Star Wars world.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. I didn't see I wanted to see some Akbar trap DJs in there. I didn't see that, though. I was missing that in this film.
It's a trap!
I was expecting that and hoping for it. But the line of 3PO where he says something like, where he knows all the facts and statistics about the festival, and he says, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great for the great sweets and dancing, something really off, kind of off.
Oh,
the
pipes. Yeah.
Yeah, and how they all looked at him when he said that.
Man, one of the things hit me with Mark Hamill in this movie, man, it's like, I know, we were in the presence of Mark Hamill at South mm-hmm. by,
yeah,
a year and a half ago, for about an hour of a panel and stuff,
yeah,
and our just quick interaction photos with him and stuff. Man, it's like, you can see, I don't know if since that happened, I've watched other Mark Hamill interviews and such,
mm-hmm.
but, man, how much you can see Mark Hamill versus like Luke Skywalker, like when he acts,
yeah,
it's like, man, some of the zingers definitely feel like those are like Mark Hamill lines.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it kind of goes back and forth. And I don't know, man, I don't know if I've just been paying more attention to him and kind of getting like his humor and like way he delivers, jokes and punchlines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was just something I feel like we gained by just seeing, just really, being Mark for, an hour and change.
Well, yeah, and you said it, I think you said it in a previous time on the podcast, where Mark Hamill is Luke Skywalker and Luke Skywalker is Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, man, no other person could have been Luke Skywalker. I'm talking about being the actor who played it, it's
in that, like, in that same way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a lifetime, thing, man. I jokingly call him Space Jesus sometimes, and it's like, who else but Mark Hamill would be good Space Jesus?
Yeah. I don't know. And I think there's screen tests out there you can watch of some other actors they were trying out for the role. I can't remember who else tried out for Luke, but I know that they had Kurt Russell had tried out for Han Solo, and Stallone came in and read for Han Solo also, which would have been a whole different world if that had happened. We may not have had any. If Stallone did Star Wars, I don't know if it, I mean, Stallone is the best Rocky you could have ever asked for. But
oh, exactly.
But Harrison Ford is the best Han Solo you could have ever asked for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that main three, like, I couldn't see any. I mean, it's always strange when you see those audition tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, man, those, the three main characters in the original trilogy, man, it's like, they were who they played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't too far from, themselves.
That's why you got to have those reads. You got to have those auditions. And then they do, the reads where they have the actors read together because they want to see when they do it the proper way, the actors come in, they read together because they want to see who has the best chemistry with each other.
And absolutely.
So oftentimes casting, I just watched, I'm watching The Movies That Made Us now on Netflix. I just started that. So I'm two movies in. I watched the behind the scenes of Ghostbusters and the behind the scenes of Dirty Dancing.
Man, those have been amazing, man.
Yeah, have you caught a couple of those? You caught some of those?
Yeah, yeah. I wound up watching the whole season of that. And yeah, those are great.
I think I'm going to watch the Die Hard one tonight. But yeah, so those are great. So yeah, you saw yourself in that, and I recommend it. Anybody hasn't seen those, I started because I'd watched all the Toys That Made Us, which was the first one they did, and then I saw they had a Movies That Made Us. But Dirty Dancing, you saw how it was important to get for them to get that two actors that were going to work the best off of each other, that had the best chemistry, and so they got that with Star Wars, with Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford. They had the best chemistry with each other. They had that camaraderie and the tension too, because that tension with Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford is real.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The sexual tension, the passion, the anger, the love, it's all there. By the way, Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, another one of my favorite scenes is where Rey said, well, he said, send Leia my love. He's telling Rey, Lando Calrissian says, "Send Leia my love." And Rey says, "Well, you should do that yourself."
Send your damn self.
And then the look on Lando's face where he's thinking about it for a second.
Oh, that's funny.
Because he realizes Han Solo's out of the picture now. Like, yeah. Han Solo's out of the picture now.
Man, when Han showed back up, man, like I said, you know, like after you lost your parents, man, it's like it hit one that nerve.
Yeah.
It's like for him to turn around
and see that flashback of him.
Yeah. No, I mean, coming from his memory, you know, I have no complaint. It was just so unexpected. And it was just like, man, what if like my dad talked to me like that from beyond, you know, from my memory or beyond.
Somehow you could have him like where you could talk, see a memory of him like that in the same way.
Yeah, man, it hit me in the feels, man. It was like, you know, it's like, man, to me, there's something about Star Wars, man. It's like having a lot of friends who are actors, you know, suspending disbelief is hard sometimes, man. It's like most of the time when I see actors, it's like seeing the guy at the 7-Eleven, the cashier. Man, they're doing their job. They're working. I'm happy for them. They paid rent that month. You know, good for them. But, man, something about Star Wars movies, man. I don't know if it's because it was something I got into when I was six. But, man, it's like you can't tell me that's not a documentary I'm watching. Like, you know, that did happen in a galaxy far, far away. You know, it's like – you know, somehow it brings me in, man. It hits the emotional points, man. It's a roller coaster ride. And it's like, I never really feel like I'm watching people working, you know, actors doing their job. It's just, man, it's like, this is, you know, the great American epic, man. It's like, it's what the Iliad and the Odyssey were, you know, in ancient times. Like, this is, you know, our story.
So there were rumors, there's still rumors now on the internet that JJ wanted to, he had so much footage he wanted to keep. He had over 3 hours that he was trying to get Disney to split this up into a part one and part two. If they had done that, but Disney was like, well, George Lucas had always said these were 9 films. We want to stick with that. If JJ had got his way, say that hypothetically that rumor's true, and JJ had got his way.
Hi, I'm JJ Abrams.
And made this a continuation for a part two. Would you have, and the reason why I ask you this is because I know you were not a fan of how they did that with the Avengers and making Infinity War and Endgame a part one, part two.
Infinity War felt like listening to two fifths of a song. And, like, I had no resolution, man. I was just flummoxed leaving the movie theater. Like, I was annoyed.
So would you have, if they had done that with Star Wars and gut punched you that way and done that with Star Wars, would you have burned the theater down?
Oh, man, it would be hard to wait, you know, however long we waited in between Avengers movies. Yeah, that would drive me crazy waiting, you know, to get, you know, a cliffhanger halfway through. You know, the ninth movie of Star Wars. Yeah, that would drive me crazy. I would still watch it. I would still be there opening day. I'd still have my popcorn and soda. But yeah, I wouldn't be happy about it.
But anyway, I had to throw that in there because it. Anyway, the anger is building.
Exactly. Now I tell you what I'm looking for is man, when they drop this on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know there's gonna be lots of bonus material. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good stuff. Also, I don't normally read like the novelizations of these movies. Mm-hmm. But, man, I have a feeling like there's going to be a lot of fat that was cut that will show up in that.
Well, yeah, because there were supposedly a lot of... And I think there was more world building going on in Episode 9 than we may be aware. I think some of it is kind of testing out characters that they may want to get put used for spinoff series, maybe on the Disney Plus platform. I said in my Thunderpop Extra, the Carrie Russell character that she played in this film, the Bounty Hunter, was my new favorite character in these new films.
Oh yeah, Yeah, definitely.
I loved her character, and I love the dynamic between her and Oscar Isaac's Poe Dameron. And I'm like, yeah. I want to see more of that. I wouldn't mind seeing a standalone of like a prequel of Poe Dameron when he was a spice runner on that planet.
Oh, yeah.
I think that could be, if nothing else, a limited series on Disney Plus. I think it could be a really good show. And there's been talk. There's a lot of again, it's the gossips on the internet are now talking the possibility that Mark Hamill is in talks to do a Luke Skywalker prequel series on Disney Plus.
No, that's interesting. I know that they were casting Luke Skywalker in the Obi-Wan series.
Well, wow. Yeah, and that would be fascinating to see how they do that. That's another thing with The Mandalorian. One of the other things that's being talked about with the gossips on the internet is that next season, season two of The Mandalorian, to kind of take it up another notch, they would have some at least cameos or small kind of guest appearances from Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan in kind of a flashback sort of thing. Where they would show the young Mandalorian, you know, the child Mandalorian, with Obi-Wan at some point in some kind of them crossing paths in some capacity. And then the other one is a possible cameo from Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, and both of those would be to set up their series.
Oh, wow.
Much in the way that Marvel did with the Avengers, where they would have these kind of setups at the end of an episode to kind of set up the next movie for another character. They might do that in the Disney Plus arena with the Star Wars shows to set up the next series that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
So I'd love that. I love it. I love the idea of it. And I know I've heard other rumors of other possible series. So that's what I want. Talking about The Mandalorian and the crossover between Rise of Skywalker. So Mandalorian comes out, their episode debuted a day before Rise of Skywalker. They released it a day early on, I think, on the
Wednesday. Then I think me and you both saw the Rise of Skywalker on Thursday
19th. So that episode, they introduce for the Mandalorian, they introduce the Force healing with Baby Yoda with a child healing.
Well, that was one of the things I said on a previous episode. Like, there's going to be something connecting. There's going to be some connecting tissue between like that show and that movie.
And that was one of them. And that was the Force healing of Yoda. And then in the Rise of Skywalker, we see Force healing used for the first time, really, in the Skywalker saga. Am I mistaken there?
I think it might be in a book or a comic book or somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. But I think it's like a skill like not every Jedi had, or maybe they all didn't know how to use.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And yeah, you're correct. It was used in one of the animated series had the Force healing previously used by other Jedis. So it's been in the expanded universe before. So it's a thing they were starting to use more. So that I think that was kind of one of the connecting things there. But I think another thing that's not being talked about enough is, so they're wanting to acquire, and this is spoilers for Mandalorian. So if you haven't seen Mandalorian, now this is your chance or turn to turn off to avoid spoilers on the Mandalorian. So the whole thing with the pursuit of these Imperial kind of terrorist troops that are sort of the leftovers of the Empire.
Yeah.
They're trying to pursue the baby, and they really want the baby, Baby Yoda, the child, as he's also being called in the media, the child or the Baby Yoda, as he's also been nicknamed. They're in pursuit of him. He's obviously Force-sensitive, high midichlorian Jedi, whatever you want to call it. They're in pursuit of him. And then there's a whole thing that there's been reference to the cloning in the Mandalorian. And we know cloning has been all throughout the Star Wars story and mythos, going back to the Clone Wars and the prequels, and it's become a big part of the Star Wars mythos is the cloning, and that's been always kind of a thing for Palpatine as one of his tools, one of his weapons. He's weaponized cloning, so we see that. And I don't know if you caught that. Did you catch in the Rise of Skywalker that bubble, kind of that tank that had like growing bodies in it?
Yeah, talking about the pickle jar full of Snokes?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I missed that on the first screening. I caught it on the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was some shit there. So he, obviously, it was revealed that he created Snoke in Rise of Skywalker. And so my thinking is that Palpatine survived the drop down the hole in Return of the Jedi. So we know that now. Now, having seen Rise of Skywalker, we did not know that throughout most of the season of The Mandalorian until we get to the last episode of The Mandalorian. We don't know that. But when we get to the season finale, we finally know that Palpatine is still around during Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Now, he's in hiding. He's in seclusion. Everyone thinks he's gone, I think, right? Doesn't everyone think he's gone at this point? So he's gone as far as everybody knows, but he's in hiding. He's probably in a kind of like a life support system of some sort, barely hanging on, but he's around somewhere. So isn't he pulling kind of the strings that's going on with these leftover Empire? The leftovers. He must be pulling their strings in the Mandalorian. Is he not?
Ooh, I call it the force healing is connective tissue, but man, that's an interesting angle with that.
Or is he trying to get Baby Yoda because he's aware of him, and he needs him to use force healing on him, and he wants to extract his powers to help regenerate, to help like re-energize him.
Yeah, that was that's definitely one that's kind of crossed my mind. It's like, I think another theory I heard was like Baby Yoda and Vader were born in like the same year. Like if Vader would have been living, he would be, 50 at this time.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's curious, man. Can't wait to find out more, see more next season,
mm-hmm.
See what happens, I think I read one of the books so far, find one that sounds like it's going to be pretty good, I may have to give the books another chance.
Same here.
Up on some desert planet, couldn't hardly stand it. Life was pretty quiet, least I got a cool accent. Just swapping stuff for portion swaps, swapping to eat. Gotta add a drop of water to it, pop, it's a bread thing. Live in a broken AT-AT, feeling kinda lonely. Except this X-Storm trooper, and BB-8 kinda likes me. They wanna get the droid, wanna get the droid. We almost got destroyed, but we chose to afford it and jumped in the Falcon, yeah. Gonna put some miles on it, anywhere you want. Gonna go freestyle on it. Now I'm kinda angry, not happy at all. Cause those guys just blew up Jakku, man. The dark side ain't polite.
All right, for a Thunder Take to start this 115th episode, I got one for you, Jazz. So I sent you a meme. I wanted you to see this meme today. And you had mentioned previous, especially back during The Last Jedi, and by the way, the Porgs make a cameo in this film, and so did the Ewoks. We see the Ewoks briefly in Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Warwick Davis actually back in the cameo there and he's played other characters. Also, another one for you. Did you know that was Mark Hamill doing the voice of that alien, the alien character that brings the message over to Poe and Finn, and says win the war?
Oh yeah, I heard that between before I saw it the third time.
And, yeah,
I was listening for that the first, after that.
You wouldn't be able to tell. I mean, his voice doesn't sound anything like Mark Hamill. Changes his voice so well for his roles that he does voice acting for. I could not hear Mark Hamill in there. Could you catch it?
Oh no! It's like, yeah, when I see Luke Skywalker, I can hear Mark Hamill sometimes. But
yeah,
like when Mark does the Joker,
yeah,
I don't hear Mark Hamill at all.
Yeah, he may be one of the best voice actors of our times.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's amazing. He did the new Chucky too. He was the voice of the new Chucky.
Oh yeah, and in the Dark Crystal too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's amazing as a voice actor. I hope to see him doing more of that kind of thing in the future as well. So, okay. So here it is. You had said in previous episodes when we were talking about the porks that the cuter the species, the cuter the animal.
No, the cuter the critter, the better the taste.
Exactly. And so you thought, I think that, especially in reference to Chewbacca eating a pork and how we believe that might have been the day that Chewbacca became a vegan.
Yeah, yeah.
We think like
I would have gone for a pork chop, some pork gogi, some pulled pork. You know, I'd eat pork sandwiches, pork tacos any day.
Yeah, I like the pulled pork idea. So yeah, you thought, hey, pork probably pretty tasty, cute animal. And then like the other character, the one that returned in The Mandalorian, that was a part of Jabba's crew. Those what do they call them? The crustacean. Crumb.
Kavakian monkey lizards.
Yeah, the little critters, that one that was being cooked on a stick there in that first episode, I think, The Mandalorian. You're saying probably those critters not very tasty.
Yeah, it looked like the meat would be kind of stringy, not as good.
Not as good for sure. So I sent you a meme. Somebody made the meme a baby Yoda in a blender. How dare they? And a fella blends the Yoda, the baby Yoda, and is drinking a what looks like a green smoothie afterwards, which is horrible, a horrible thing to do. I do not endorse this idea, but baby Yoda, the cutest of the cutest of Star Wars characters. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, but Babu Frick is not very far.
You're right, and after seeing the film the second time, he's pretty damn cute, and I think that Baby Yoda still edges him out. But Baby Yoda. So, my question for you: does that rule apply? The cuter the critter, the tastier. What's that?
Yeah, the cuter the critter, the better the taste.
Yeah, does that apply to Baby Yoda?
Yes, but here's the thing. That's a little fucker. There's probably not a lot of meat on him, but I'm sure it would be delicious. But I'd rather have a baby Yoda than, some Yoda tacos.
Oh. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's like eating it's kind of like eating someone's pet, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's like a cross between somebody's pet and somebody's child.
Yeah, so it's a little tough. It's cute. It's pretty damn cute, but it's a tough thing. But I guess if you were trapped somewhere, like stranded on an island, and you had no food.
No, I would let Baby Yoda eat me. Save Baby Yoda, dude.
He would make it not hurt, though. He would use his force healing.
Exactly.
He would just regenerate. He would eat eat one of your arms and then use a force healing to make your arm grow back.
Baby Yoda is all that's good in the universe.
So he would just keep eating your arm over and over again and then just grow it back for you.
Exactly.
You would have different tattoos each time your arm regrew.
Exactly.
Eventually, he would make sure that you'd have an arm with him as your tattoo.
Oh, that or a Mudhorn insignia.
yeah, exactly. Something like that as well. All right, so we got agree or disagree for you, Jazz One, on this 115th episode. Are you ready for some of that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. I think someone left their car alarm on outside. I hear the horn going off. Hopefully it's not someone breaking into my car. No, it's stopped now. So, agree or disagree, number one. So, Martin Scorsese, who just finished the film or just released the Irishman over the Thanksgiving holiday, getting a lot of critical acclaim. So, he was originally supposed to work on the Joker film. He was going to be a producer on the Joker film, but because of his obligations with The Irishman, he ended up pulling out of that film. But his producing partner stayed on with the film and continued to work as a producer. So recently he said that he has not seen The Joker. He hasn't actually seen it. And he said that he was quote-unquote said he doesn't need to see The Joker film. Do you think that sounds, do you agree or disagree that it sounds like there maybe there was some kind of sour grapes there that he maybe didn't get to work on the film? Because as well as The Irishman's doing, The Joker, probably even more critical acclaim for The Joker film.
I don't know. It's like I heard some of his other things he said about like superhero movies.
Yeah.
And it really just sounds like get off my lawn.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe it was a real reason he didn't work on The Joker? Was maybe he started to feel like, oh, maybe this just isn't my flavor.
Yeah. I mean, it just, in my dream of dreams, he would drop like the best superhero movie ever, supervillain movie ever.
Right.
But man, you know, just some people are too auteurs, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, we live in a different place. We're in a different world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, it's, I would love to see his take, but. Yeah, I just think he's got a little bit of that old guy thing going on.
Yeah, because superhero movies used to be very different. And, I mean, the Marvel, well, they figured it out. I think it started to really turn the corner with what they did with the Tim Burton Batmans and the first two Batmans with Michael Keaton, where they're like, okay, this is what we could do with superhero films in kind of the modern movie age. Where they can be a little less campy, they can be a little bit more gritty, they could be some more storytelling involved, a little bit more character development.
You know, it's like on a anthropological level, man, it's like people telling superhero stories is the same thing we've been doing like since ancient times. You know, you look at like Greek mythology and stuff, like, man, you know, they didn't have cameras and projectors. But like when they did, you know, their, you know, dramas and stuff, like about the gods, you know, the lowercase g gods, you know, it's like those Hercules, all these stories, like we're superheroes more or less, you know, it's like, so it's like, you know, demigods and everything. And it's like, I think a lot of the superhero movies kind of hit that thing that's just in a part of it since like, ancient times, I just think we've, as human beings, we've almost always told these stories of superhumans, whether you call them gods, demigods, or superheroes.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point. I agree with that. I think there's a lot to what you're saying there. Number two, Disney Plus.
Yes.
And a lot of people, by the way, they just had the Disney Plus. Through the Mandalorian season one, they canceled it until the next season of Mandalorian comes out. I'm sticking with it because I believe we're going to get a new Clone Wars season this month, February. So I might cancel for a month, but I'm going to dial it back in February.
Oh man, I tell you what I'm doing right now is going back and watching some of the key episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah, get back refreshed with it.
Yeah. It's like, things, one of the greatest things about Star Wars is, you know, like the more you learn, the more you see, you know, and it's like, you know, like on a greater kind of macro level, you know, it's like the stories of war in the stars, you know, the Star Wars, it's, man, these are the stories of what countries have been doing, you know, like all throughout, you know, human history, you know. You can go to a college class and be told this and that about, you know, World War One or World War Two, but man, it's just sometimes, you know, sci-fi has been really good. You know, at, you know, if you swap out aliens for humans, you know, sometimes you can see like man's inhumanity to man. You know, it's like I believe that South African movie District 9.
Yeah,
like same people did like Choppy. You know, it's like, you know, that was very much, you know, like a Holocaust, you know, concentration camp type thing. But it's like, it's one thing when you hear, you know, these stories that, you know, we've been hearing since, you know, the Holocaust. But it's just something, when you can see it in another context, you know, like with aliens, you know, and you see how we're treating them. I don't know, it hits a different spot and, you know, gives me a different appreciation. You know, it's like a lot of stuff I see in Star Wars about, you know, like with the New Republic coming in, mm-hmm. you know, if you're, you know, the hero stays around long enough, you turn into the bad guy. You know, it's just, you know, you see what happens when governments collapse and, you know, what happens in the vacuum. And I don't know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of Earth history in the Star Wars, just sometimes with, you know, aliens instead of the people we see in the history books.
It's a real profound statement there. The longer you stay the hero, the more likely you are. Was it, how does it go? The more likely you are to become the villain?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, most dictators don't plan to be dictators.
Yeah.
And most dictators don't think they're dictators. Most dictators don't think they're bad guys, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I think that's one of the interesting things going back to the original trilogy, the Holy Trilogy,
mm-hmm.
is like good and bad was very black and white. And some of the side films, and then it's like the new trilogy, the sequel trilogy, you know, it's like those, that good and bad is kind of blurred, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't remember what the guy's name was in Rogue One, but the Empire talking about security and mm-hmm. just, it's like, oh, that's kind of close to some stuff we say in this, about this country.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, exactly. Where the sort of kind of crosses some lines there where you're wondering, you know, where security becomes, you know, control.
Yeah.
Too much control. And, you know, it's an interesting point because I think it was, I read it somewhere, it might have been in a Kevin Smith video. They were talking about how he was okay with them bringing back Palpatine for Rise of Skywalker. And the reason why he was okay with it was because the Sith always, they always put a lot of emphasis on trying to extend their life, extending life for as long as they could.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping themselves alive for as long as they could and try to extend it so they could try to acquire more power. Where with the Jedi, they actually liked the idea of the spirit leaving the body.
Yeah, yeah.
And where they weren't afraid of death. It was like where Obi-Wan says, you know, if you strike me down, I will become even more powerful, to Darth Vader in A New Hope, where the whole idea is that they actually, for them, it is a great thing to die and leave their body and move on. And it's sort of a kind of a thing that they are the opposite with the Sith on that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of where you know, another thing, kind of an interesting point you were making about if you stay a hero too long, you might become the villain. Kind of how that has some parallels to that, kind of the whole Jedi philosophy and with the Sith as well. But anyway, here's the question for you on the Disney Plus. So Disney Plus, a lot of content suddenly disappeared off the platform this month. A lot of the stuff like Sandlot, some of the Home Alone movies. So a lot of subscribers are up in arms about this because they were thinking that Disney Plus was going to provide the whole library anytime they wanted to dial up something. It was going to be there at their disposal. So I know with one, a subscriber emailed the customer service team. They got a response back saying that it was for technical reasons that this content was pulled off of the streaming platform, and that was all. That was all the only answer they received. Do you agree or disagree with that response? Do you think that there's something more to that?
You know, it's like, I'll take it. You know, it's just, you know, I worked for a well-known social media company.
Yeah.
And, like, I could understand how some things break. and you're, you know, some things are working and everything's fine,
mm-hmm.
I'll give the benefit of the doubt, you know, on that one.
Mm-hmm. As long as they leave your Clone Wars up.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's like, spoiler for the Mando episode, but mm-hmm. It was episode 8 was great. But yeah, just having seen, not had the latest past seeing the animated shows, mm-hmm. Resistance, Clone Wars, and mm-hmm. Rebels.
Yeah.
But like when I saw the Darksaber.
Yes, like, that was great.
I about fell out. So it's like part of me is wanting to go back and like watch all the episodes that had like Mandalorians in it. And also anything that had like the Darksaber in it,
yeah,
you know, to kind of pick up on context,
yeah,
and it's just that I don't know. It's like Clone Wars, you know, some of the episodes seem very kiddie, like very sure. Disney, right?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like you'd see like the Mortis arc, and man, it'll reevaluate how you're looking at, you know, existence, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then it was like Rebels was a lot more in tone with the original trilogy and stuff. So it's like there's some real gems in the animation. So it's like I would suggest hang on to your Disney Plus, you know, get hip to some of the stories and plot lines running through Clone Wars and Rebels. You know, it's like Clone Wars, I noticed, and Rebels too. Well, sometimes you'll see like 3 or 4 episode arcs, and then we kind of jump around. But I didn't really care for them until I found out they were canon, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, after I realized that, it was like, oh, okay, I got it. I'm kind of digging this now.
Well, it's a great time to catch up on them now, because this is a gap now between new Star Wars live action, because we just had the movie. But we're not going to get another movie probably for a while now. I mean, we're looking at probably, 4 years maybe, you think?
Oh, no, I think the earliest I heard was 2022 or 2023.
Yeah, so somewhere in there, 2022, 2023, they probably already know what it will be. I don't think there hasn't been obviously any official announcements. There's rumors. I've heard of about an Anthony Hopkins project that's the being nicknamed the Star Wars X. But so that's there. We already know about this, what they're planning for some of the television stuff. Kenobi is for sure coming. But that's going to be, again, that's going to be a while off before we get that. So, yeah, so we're looking at Mandalorian, of course, next November.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is a good window for people that want to maybe catch up, that haven't watched the animated. This is a good time to kind of do some catching up on it.
Yeah, the one I caught up recently on was Resistance.
Yeah.
And, like, the first 3 episodes seemed like, okay, it felt like a lot more like a kid show, but
yeah,
like when you start seeing some of the main sequel trilogy, you know, characters, you know, you see Poe show up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kylo Ren makes an appearance.
Yeah,
it was much better than I expected it to be.
Yeah. By the way, going back to something we talked about earlier in the show, that flashback scene with Luke training Leia post Return of the Jedi, one of my other favorite scenes in the film, and that was for the original old fans of the original Star Wars. That was like a hey, here's something for you, another thing for you that we're putting in this film. But when I saw that. They were able to do that. I was like, I think they could do a young Luke Skywalker prequel series on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see that.
Especially when you look at something like that, is probably still in talks. If it's even really in talks, it wouldn't probably start filming for a while. I mean, we're probably talking about at the earliest maybe a year from now. That's just a hypothetical, of course. The technology will just get better.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For that sort of thing. So anyway, I'm sure whatever they've got going on in the future, I'm ready for it. I'm excited and I'm ready for it, because what they've done so far is looking really good. And by the way, there's a Star Wars fan film on YouTube that's just called Kenobi, that I've only started watching, but I was really impressed with it. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that there's we're not going to see some of that that they're using in that fan film is not going to be a lot of what we're going to see in the actual Kenobi series. Because it looked like they got a lot of it. Like, they got some of the things you would expect them to get. I know there's going to be some things that they're going to throw in there that you would never have expected, but, you know, we'll probably see a little bit of the Darth Maul stuff, I would imagine, come back. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, the Uncle Owen confronting Kenobi, trying to get rid of him.
Your solitude on Tatooine. Training I have for you. An old friend has learned the path to immortality. One who has returned from the netherworld of the Force, your old master.
Now, thoughts and advice. We can close it out with a little sports kind of a little sports message.
Oh, absolutely, man. My my Tigers, man, in the national championship after just like the most epic season ever against Clemson on the 13th. I can't wait.
We're ready for it. We're gonna be watching. We're gonna be checking it out. It'll be a fun game for. I mean, it's gonna be a fun night for you. Are you gonna get together with your friends, your Tiger friends?
Oh yeah. It's like
big watch party.
The LSU Austin like alumni and fan group meets here at Shoal Creek. You know, going very regional. But man, it's like for about 3 hours. You know, it feels like home. You know,
is that place gonna be packed though? Is there gonna be a room to even stand in that?
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculously.
You're going to have to get there early, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
To get a spot.
Exactly.
By the way, I was at a convenience store parking lot the day of the OU game, and yeah. I saw a guy in an LSU shirt. And I just, on a whim, I decided to ask him, hey, do you know Jazz One by any chance? Jazzy? I just, for some reason, I assume everyone in Austin that has an LSU shirt on knows you. So turns out he doesn't know you, and that's you know to his disadvantage that he doesn't know you. I said you need to get with it and get to know this guy. But I told him about your video that you had the segment you did for CBS Sports, and I said you might be able to, find it online and you go check it out. It was a tailgate party on the CBS Sports website. It's still there, so I told him to go that you could. He could find out about you and learn about you by going find that video.
Yeah, I still can't believe all that happened this season. Like, I'm still just blown away by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite a year for you. You've been, so are you, you're not, so I guess by now you would have known if you're going, you're not going to the game.
Man, I had to pass on tickets today.
Yeah.
You know? Man, I could not make it happen.
Yeah,
I was even offered like a discounted ticket, but mm-hmm. it was still, you know, higher than I could go right now. So
yeah,
I had to make a very adult decision. But yeah, I so wanted to be there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you were there this year. You went to? Did you go to? You were at three games.
Yeah, three games. Man, I was at the Texas game. I was usually if I get one game in a year, man, I'm just delighted. You know, I was like, went to the Texas LSU game, slept in my bed afterwards. I was like, nothing is better than this. And then CBS Sports contacts me, and they invite me out and fly me out to the Florida game, which was an incredible game. Like when LSU just started running away from Florida, you know, on the scoreboard. And LSU, the whole crowd starts mocking their, you know, Gator chomp, you know. Like seeing like 100,000 people mocking Florida was great. Then, some friends of mine invited me out to the Ole Miss game in Oxford, Mississippi. And, it was like three games, three different states, you know. Like I really wish I could be at the national championship. But, man, you know, I always say meant to be things happen. Things are not meant to be don't happen, you know.
What?
Still got some Hail Marys out. Could still happen, but worst case scenario, I'm watching the game with a couple hundred people in purple and gold, you know, here in Austin.
Now, and if anybody could still make it happen, it's you, because you've done it over and over again. Now, if anybody that wanted to go find your segment, he did a segment, Jazz One did a segment this year, in case you haven't figured that out already from our conversation. Jazz One was in a segment this year for CBS Sports earlier in the year during the Florida game, correct?
Yeah, yeah. They followed me around, flew a crew in, half of them from London, half of them from New York City.
Yeah.
And they followed me around tailgating. I talked about LSU and its connection to, like, my home state, the culture, you know, my family, my parents, like, rest their souls and friends.
Great tribute to your mom on there. I saw it. I watched it again the other day.
Yeah, I got to talk about my mother. You know, I lost her about a year and a half ago.
Her photo is in the segment. They've got a picture of her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad they, you know, that was in there. I speak about my mother's gumbo, and it was an amazing experience. But I have it. It's on the CBS Sports website. It's also on their social media. If you look up Jazzy, J-A-Z-Z-Y, yeah. In CBS Sports, you'll find it on Twitter and Facebook. Also, I uploaded it to my blog.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
And it can be found there too. And if you dig around, like, my socials, at Jazz One spelled out, J-A-Z-Z-O-N-E, you can find, if you cycle back to, I guess, late October, early November, you'll be able, they'll be able to find it.
That's cool. That's great. Yeah, it's their archives. So go back and check. Go check it out. Really, really fun. If you ever want to see kind of the meat and bones to the LSU tailgate experience and the culture and the kind of the vibe, it's a really good. It paints a really good picture of what it's actually like.
The craziest thing was when I was at the Ole Miss game up in Oxford, Mississippi. I was at tailgating there,
yeah.
And I remember the restroom. And this guy recognizes me from that video. Like, I'm trying to handle my business.
Really?
And this guy's going on and on. Like, were you that guy in that LSU Superfan video? I'm like, I'm just trying to finish. You know,
taking it wasn't Jeff Goldblum, was it?
No, but it was, yeah, that's all back. No, I was over at the tent and the tailgate at the Grove, and somebody else came up to me and just kept quoting things I said in that video.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah, that was a little weird, a little creepy there. But, no, I had a handful of others recognize me from that video. And, yeah, it's just it was an amazing thing to be involved with. The crew that they had, you know, the London production crew and then the editorial crew. Man, they were just really amazing to work with.
Yeah, it was a really good segment, a really professional, full-fledged segment. Drones were brought in. They film you from bird's eye view. It's a seriously well-done segment. And there was a whole series they did with some of the SEC teams, right?
They only did two others. One was a person from Bama, and the other was somebody from Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I had to represent, you know, my home state, man, my Tigers, you know. It was just, I'm really happy with the way they cut it and the way they edited it all together. Because they could have made me look just like Joe Sports Fan, but they really caught, you know, like, captured my essence in that video.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you know me, like, that's me in that video.
Yeah, they didn't edit it like reality TV style to make you look bad.
Yeah.
As I saw that, I've seen that happen to people before. They came into my one of my old hometowns and did Dr. Phil, a month of Dr. Phil in this town that I grew up in, and they really went like below the belt. The way everything was edited, like some of the people I went to school with, they made everybody look like they were a Jerry Springer episode.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was bad. So sometimes the TV stuff doesn't go so well. But no, they got your essence for sure. They really captured captured you. And in a very short, it was a 3-4 minutes. How long is the segment?
Yeah, 3.5 minutes, man. Yeah. They shot enough that they could have had like a, you know, hour and a half long documentary.
We
like,
could have had a limited series.
Yeah, I was shooting, you know, had an 8 o'clock call time.
Yeah.
And I think they released me to go to the game like at 6 o'clock that night. So it was like a long, long day.
I'm going to petition CBS Sports for the limited series. I want to see the outtakes. I want to see the full just like the DVD version.
Yeah, like the bonus, the extra.
The bonus. I want to see the bonus stuff because I know there's a lot of other good stuff in there. Well, Jazz One, I want to thank you, sir, Stephen Presley, and Jazz One. I want to thank you for joining me for 115.
115, man. I remember what, episode 2, episode 3?
Yeah, and here we're, golly, how did we get this far? Wow, it's amazing.
Exactly.
How do we get here? But we're here, and it happened somehow. I couldn't do it without you and so many others, and I'm just glad we're here doing it still, and it's a new year, so everyone, it's a new decade, by the way.
Ain't no stopping us now, man.
2020. And by the way, I got to ask you this, 2020, do you think that people will start adapting 20s fashion in the 2020s, 1920s fashion?
I don't know. Like, man, none of that stuff looks comfortable.
It's not athleisure.
Exactly, man. I look at back in the, you know, the olden days. Like, man, all them suits and like crazy dresses.
Yeah.
I guess it was like pre, climate change.
Right.
You know, maybe it was cold back then.
Maybe.
Man, I'm looking at the Mandalorian like, how's he staying cool in that thing, man?
Maybe there's an air condition built into that suit.
Exactly.
I think there's an AC built in there. That's the only way you could wear that in the desert.
Like, I couldn't be a Mandalorian, man. I might have an itch somewhere.
Yeah. How does he go spring a leak?
Yeah. A vat tube.
Yeah, it's got to be. There's got to be something in there he's working on. But yeah, just like you said, I'm the same with you. I wouldn't be able to do it. How would I scratch like an itch? Or if I got to blow my nose?
Exactly.
I have to take off the helmet.
Exactly.
Well, by the way, the actor, and his name is kind of right at the tip of my tongue, that is the Mandalorian in the series. Is it Pablo Pascal?
Yeah, I believe so.
He is, since I was just at the movie, he is the bad guy in the new Wonder Woman 1984.
I was unaware of that.
And I would have never caught it. He comes out like midway through the trailer. If you go dial up the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer, the full trailer, which is a really good trailer, by the way. I'm really excited about Wonder Woman 1984. It looks really good.
Rise of Scott, the sequel trilogy, man, we've had the First Order, we've had the Final Order, but the one Wonder Woman movie, they get the New Order.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, so anyway, he is one of the baddies in the new Wonder Woman movie, and you would not even recognize him. It took me watching that trailer several times to finally be like, wait a minute. That's Mando. So I think he had his hair kind of lightened in the it's different hair color in the Wonder Woman. And so he looks a little different, but he's also just a really good actor. He's really good at morphing himself into whatever character he's playing and looking different from part to part. He's a good character actor.
Yeah, I'll have to check out that trailer again. I'm looking forward to that movie.
Yeah, to go see where you can if you can spot him in there, where he pops up. Also, I don't know if you know this, but one more thing before we close out, Mandalorian. That actor Pablo Pascal was doing a play during part of the first season of Mando, so he wasn't actually there for filming of every episode. So during some of the episodes, he's not the guy even there in the suit for a lot of the scenes. So he's doing he's doing the voice, but he's not actually doing the physical acting.
No, that was me. I was in the suit.
That's the reveal, is that it was actually Jazz One. And that's exactly. That's the other big TV job you got this year, but we're letting everybody know that. And it was hard because you did have to, they have to cut a lot so you could scratch yourself under that suit.
Exactly.
but seriously, John Wayne's grandson was the stand-in.
Oh wow!
Which is huge. Which is kind of funny because it's a space western. So yeah. They're like, well, let's get John Wayne's grandson if Pablo's not here to do the. And so John Wayne's grandson, I don't know his name. I'm trying to remember his name, but he actually spent a lot of time, him and Pablo Pascal. He would talk to him about the character and how the movements and mannerisms and stuff, because he wanted to be able to duplicate the movements the same way that he played the character.
Oh, that's amazing, man.
Yeah. One of the episodes for certain that it's John Wayne's grandson is that episode where they're on that the planet where with the farmers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's John Wayne's grandson through the whole episode.
Dude, that makes me even like it more, man.
Yeah. No, it's a great the work they did on that. It's amazing, the whole season. All right, everyone. Have a great day, hour, month, second, millisecond. We out of here.
Peace, y'all.
See ya.
I grew up on some desert planet. Couldn't hardly stand it. Life was pretty quiet. Lisa got a cool accent. Just swapping stuff for portion swap, swapping to eat. But I add a drop of water to it. Pop, it's a bread thing. Live in a broken AT-AT. Feeling kinda lonely. Except this X-Storm trooper. And BB-8 kinda likes me. They wanna get the droid. Wanna get the droid. We almost got destroyed. But we chose to afford it. And jumped in the Falcon. Yeah, gonna put some miles on it. Anywhere you want. Gonna go freestyle on it. Now I'm kinda angry. Not happy at all. Cause those guys just blew up Jakku. Man, the dark side ain't polite. Join the resistance, alright. Lucky for you, I'm down to fight. I'm down to fight. It may turn out I'm a Jedi. Yeah, a Jedi. And the First Order, you know, built the Death Star 2.0. It might make everybody die. Yeah, they'll all die. Check out those lasers in the sky. Up in the sky. Maybe we'll get to meet Han Solo. Chewie with his crossbow. Buns run in the family. Well, if it turns out Leia's my auntie, figured out I've got the Force and I should train now. They got no time for that, but I'll figure it out. A lightsaber right there is. Look at that, now I'm an heiress. Now it's all getting clearer. Guess I'm a Disney princess. Is it true?
Is it true?
Can it be?
Can it be?
If it is,
if it is,
no dress for me, baby. Back to the Falcon now, but no chance to fly on it. Captured prisoner by this loser Kylo Ren. Look into my memory, that's not cool at all. I'll never give the map to you. Been like a thief in the night. Rescued me, well, at least tried. Is this the guy I'm supposed to like? Supposed to like? Cause honestly, I would swipe right. I would swipe right. No time for romance tonight. We've got to get out alive. Speaking of that, hope Han's alright. Hope he's alright. Hope his dumb son won't let him die. Won't let him die. We knew it was about time. The hero's a lady. Hero's a lady. Fight with me, fight with me, fight with me. Kylo gets left behind. Think about the Force, I can use it. No need to train at all. Call me lazy, call me lazy. But look what I can do. The Force awaken tonight. Daddy and daughter unite. I mean, that theory's not airtight. It's not airtight. But probably, like, am I right? So am I right? Luke, I could stand here all night. Just take the saber, alright. Lead the resistance and we'll fight. Yeah, let's go fight. Help me become a great Jedi. The last Jedi. We know it was about time. The hero's a lady. Hero's a lady. Fight with me, fight with me, fight with me. Kylo gets left behind.
And Thunder Pop is a Hit the Bricks production.
It really is.
Indeed.